Welcome to Online with USU, the podcast where we talk about the online learning experience. I'm Dan, Online Enrollment Specialist.
And I'm Jessica, the Marketing Manager for USU Online. And today we're going to be talking about what the online learning experience is here at USU Online. So Dan, can you tell me a little bit about what you do here?
Yeah, so I work with students and offices on campus in regards to helping those that are attending online. So if a student is interested in taking online classes, I help them get them admitted, enrolled. I connect them with the right offices they need. If they're registering, having problems, I can help with that process. If they're students and needing help with resources and stuff like that, anything in regards to the student experience that's online, I can help with.
Perfect. And what's the biggest reason students should consider taking online courses?
The biggest reason I'd say is the flexibility. Online classes, you don't have to meet at a specific time. So even our students that attend on campus here in Logan, Utah, many of them take online classes so that they don't have to be physically in any location. So that means they can work jobs, they can join clubs, they can participate in different activities without having it get in the way of one of their classes. They can work on that class when they get home that night or whatever is the most convenient time for them.
Mm-hmm. What is the structure and the format of an online class here at USU?
Great question. So at Utah State University, we run what are commonly referred to as asynchronous online classes. An asynchronous class is one in which you do not have to log in at a specific time. You do not have to worry about time zones, that sort of thing, but you access the material at your convenience. And so long as things are done by their deadlines, as I like to say, 2 a.m., 2 p.m. on a beach in Maui or on your lunch break at work, so long as it gets done before the deadline, you've got full flexibility there. The program that we use, the platform, the learning management system is the technical terminology for it, is Canvas. We've actually been with Canvas since the beginning.
I want to say we helped the company really get its start.
Yeah, I think they kind of started on their own, but we were one of their first clients and we helped solve some problems that they had and things like that. So we've got a fantastic relationship with Canvas. They like us a lot. We like them. And our tech people are very good at working with Canvas. So there's all kinds of tools. There's discussion boards, there's assignments, assessments, all those sorts of things that are built in. And professors can choose which of these tools that they want to use. Most professors do tend to work up on a 1 or 2 week schedule. So they'll have a chapter or a unit or, a series of material that they want to do. And over the course of a week or two, they'll have a discussion post, as well as then either some assignments and quizzes or assessments or projects. And so you kind of get into as an online student, you kind of get into a 2 week cycle, as I said, is pretty normal. And so over the course of those 2 weeks, you can anticipate either watching lecture, doing readings, and then posting about it. I mean, and this is to simulate a classroom discussion. And interestingly enough, a lot of students complain about discussion posts.
I know I did when I had an online course.
Interestingly enough, though, classes that don't have discussion posts, the students don't tend to do as well.
Interesting.
So yeah, discussion posts are not always popular. I think it's because I know for myself when I did them, they felt like kind of like mini essays, and it felt like I was having to come up to make up stuff to respond to other people.
Yeah, that's what I didn't like. I just was like, this does not feel like an actual conversation. And who knows, is the author of this post even going to read my comment or response?
Yeah, yeah. And that can be a frustrating thing. I will say, though, from my own experience, now granted, I was in a master's program when I did my stuff online, although I had some online components in my undergraduate, the better quality the post, the easier it was to respond to it. And so I know that for myself, I was trying to make sure that I had a high quality post, because then I could respond to people that responded to me. Mm-hmm. And that would count and things like that. You can anticipate a discussion post, and it's good to, get to that, kind of towards the beginning of the week. And then that gives you a couple of days to respond to gives other people time to respond or time to write their own posts. And then, a couple of days later, you can start responding to people. So building up a schedule as to how you approach this 2 week or 1 week cycle, check the material on the first day and decide, okay, see what needs to be done, kind of plan out. And then over the next couple of days, respond to the first discussion post, work on the assignment. A couple of days later, follow up on the discussion. Finish the assignment, and it's good to kind of plan things out just in kind of a regular cycle. It makes it a lot easier to manage the class, again, since you're not going to class and actively being, being reminded of what you need to do.
And how much time do online classes usually take a student?
So online classes are built kind of the same way. They're built with the same design as our on-campus classes. And so the standard formula for a class is that for every credit hour that a class is, you can anticipate spending 3 hours a week in studying and stuff like that. For an on-campus class, that's normally 1 hour a week in class, attending lecture and that sort of thing, and the other 2 hours is homework. So for online classes, that 3 hours a week is spent accessing the material through Canvas, the online program, and then of course doing the homework and assignments that you would do with the you would normally do with it within a class.
What's the best way to prepare for taking online classes?
Luckily, the same strategies that would help you in an on-campus class, the same note-taking strategy, listening, active listening techniques, those sorts of things, those standard study skills, you're going to use them the exact same way in an online class that you would in a regular in-person class. The biggest things that are different and the things you really need to prepare for is, one, with an online class, you don't have that regular attendance that you have to do. You're not beholden to anyone at a specific time on a specific day. And those sorts of things can fall by the wayside. We tend to forget about those unless we make a certain point of it. Early on in my experience as an advisor, I was working with a student that we were going through their final semester grades. And I commented, I said, okay, you've done well in these classes. It looks like you failed this class. And she said, I didn't have that class. Oh my gosh, that was online. I totally forgot that I had that class. It's a prime example of what can happen if you're not prepared for that. So one of the first things you should do to prepare for an online class is schedule out time that you're actually going to work on it. Don't just be like, oh, I'll get to it when I get to it. But on your personal calendar, plan it out as if it was an actual class. Yes, you don't have to be somewhere at a certain time, but when are you going to work on this class? Online classes do require a lot of self-discipline. Just like in keeping track of your time, you have to make sure you keep on track of your homework and your assignments. You have to be organized in that way. Just like being proactive in an on-campus class is going to be beneficial, you have to be that much more proactive in an online class. Simply because the professor can't tell if you're struggling because they can't see your face while they're talking. There are times where you're sitting there in a lecture and a professor might kind of look at you and then expound on something because they can tell that you're not getting it. That doesn't happen. If you don't understand something, you have to reach out to the professor. And the sooner you do, the sooner they can get back to you. And yes, there is going to be a time delay. That's one of the disadvantages of online classes is that you don't have that live interaction. And so you have to make sure that you're proactive in both reaching out as well as finding solutions for yourself.
Can you say what the differences and similarities between on-campus and then online courses are? Because I think there's similarities and then there's some differences.
With on-campus classes, big advantages are, one, you've got live interaction. If you don't understand, you can raise your hand, you can throw something at the professor, not recommended of course, but you can get someone's attention immediately when you have a question and get an answer to that question. Other big advantage to in-person classes is a lot of people do tend to thrive on interaction. I mean, being involved and connected, the more you are, the better you learn the material. Cons of on-campus classes, you've got to be somewhere at a certain time on a certain day. Your schedule is now restricted. If you're trying to work part-time or full-time, class is going to get in the way of that. I actually was talking with a student just yesterday that said that they had to go online because they had to take vacation time off of work during the day to attend their classes.
That sounds miserable.
Yeah, but in some cases, that's what you have to do. As a student myself, I was here in Logan, and I actually had a 7:30 class with a guy that drove up from Ogden every day to go to class. I mean, that's a good 45, 50-minute drive that he was making in order to be on campus at 7:30 in the morning. That is a disadvantage to an in-person class. Advantages to being online, well, of course, you've got that flexibility. You don't have to make that drive. You don't have to get up early if you don't want to. You don't have to take time off work. You do have to make sure you have time for that class. If it is in the mornings or if it's in the evenings or if it's on your lunch break, you do have to make sure you have the time for class, but it is your time to choose when that happens. You're not restricted to that physical location and that physical time. And that is the biggest thing with online, the biggest advantage. Another smaller advantage is that in regards to like a lecture-based course, you know, my own subject of history is a big thing here. In history classes, a lot of history classes, you're sitting there listening to a lecture. Well, it's really nice if you've got a recording of that lecture. If you can pause it and rewind it or do things like that. Online provides a lot of accessibility that's not available in an in-person class. Again, that being able to rewind a lecture, being able to pause it. Even the Disability Resource Center likes online classes because they can caption, the videos are automatically captioned. They've got a lot of things that are accessible to people that have different accommodations. Those are baked in. You can take as long as you want on that online class because you're not going to be restricted to just 50 minutes of working with the professor in the lecture. Disadvantages, of course, are one, you don't have live interaction. You don't have that extra little lifeline, that instantaneous communication with the professor when you may need it. You may have to wait. You may have to engage in some self-discovery or some self-learning to say, okay, if I've got a question about this, where can I find the answer if I'm waiting for the professor to get back to me or if the textbook's not really being helpful? Now, again, with the technology that we have nowadays, finding those sorts of resources isn't too difficult. But that comes up a lot more in an online class than it would in an in-person class because you don't have that instantaneous communication. The other biggest disadvantage is it does require a lot more from the student. It puts a lot more responsibility on the student to learn the material because you don't have that professor standing there in front of you, giving it to you whether you want it or not.
What are the types of interaction and communication channels that students have available to them in an online course?
That is a fantastic question. So when it comes to communicating with your professor, there's a couple different ways. First off, we use Canvas. That's our learning management system. It's how students access our online courses. And there's some baked-in things with Canvas. There's a baked-in class communication. It's basically an email. There's also the discussion boards. Most professors do set up discussion boards. That's one of the big ways they participate in class. A lot of times professors will have discussion boards where they may have, you know, a discussion board specifically for questions about the class. You can also find the professor's contact information on their syllabus, which usually always includes email, will oftentimes also include phone and office hours. Something that's important to note is most of our online professors also teach on campus, and many of them have offices on campus, and many of them consequently have office hours. And so those are times that you can call and they should be available. You can always, of course, set up an appointment as well. Most professors have Zoom pages that you can set up an appointment to do over Zoom if you wanted to do a face-to-face type or a live interaction video conference. That's certainly an option as well. Those are kind of the big ones. Some professors give out their personal cell numbers for texting and that sort of thing, but that is entirely on their own personal preference when it comes to communicating with students. I will say most professors do ask for at least 72 hours before you start asking them if they got your last email. I've heard plenty of professors, you know, say that they get back from a weekend and they've got 6 emails all asking if they saw the previous email.
I know the stress.
Yeah, so again, you don't have that live interaction, and it may be up to 72 hours depending on when you try to contact your professor, but there are certainly different ways of doing so.
Great. Well, this was very informative, Dan.
My pleasure.
Dan, how can people get a hold of you if they have questions about online learning?
I think the best way for people to get a hold of me is if you go to the website, usu.edu/online. My information is all over that page. If you click on any form there, it'll come to me. But if you click under the contact link, it'll take you directly to my page. You'll see my phone number, my email address. You can also schedule an appointment with me, and I'll also be hosting virtual office hours. So you can all have my Zoom up, and you can just drop in if you'd like.
Excellent. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Online with USU. We hope it was very informative. We'll be back next week with another exciting topic, and... any last words, Dan?
We'd love to have you here at USU, online or otherwise.
Yeah. All right.